of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. Lord God, come in power, come in your Holy Spirit. Imbue our lives with your Spirit, that with our spirits we may testify to the wonder of your works in our lives and live them more with ever-increasing glory to your honor and credit. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 You, my grace friends, are charismatics. Say, what? Did you know you were charismatic? Sometimes those are startling words to us. Why? Because some of us have been raised in churches where we never talked about the Holy Spirit. Oh, sure, we said Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We knew that we worshiped a Trinitarian God. But we really didn't take seriously the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And some of us have been a part of traditions that we've actually fled because we've seen excesses with regard to who the Holy Spirit is. And we're going, I'm not charismatic. I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not a part of that. But some remarkable things have happened in the last 110 years that cause us as Christians to rethink what the Holy Spirit is up to, who he is and what he wants to do in our lives. Now, the turn of the 20th century, so 110 years ago, around the world, there were no one to be designated Pentecostal or charismatic. No one. And then a revival began. In fact, it began on the West Coast in a place called Azusa Street, 1906. And it spread like wildfire. And it spread not just in America, but around the world, to the point that today, 500 million Christians, 25% of all the Christians on the face of the planet call themselves Pentecostals or Charismatics. And it means that the church has to revisit who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because we can't afford, given the movement of the Holy Spirit, to ignore the fact that he's meant to be a part of our lives, both individually and corporately as the church. Nor can we not do it because of things that we've seen, excesses, if you will, an emphasis upon that which is fantastic and phenomenal, to the exclusion of what the Holy Spirit does daily, that is transforming us into the likeness of Christ. We have to take seriously again who the Holy Spirit is and what he wants to do. And we do it on the day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, recognizing that 50 days later, after the resurrection, that Jesus has ascended And when he left, we heard it in John this morning that he promised us the Holy Spirit. And this is the day upon which he made good on that promise and gave us the Holy Spirit. It birthed the church, and the church, through its ministry, ultimately has reached us. It's through its being faithful to the mission given to it that the gospel has been proclaimed ever since, and we've come to faith in Jesus Christ. So we have to take seriously this work of the Holy Spirit. We have to take seriously that we are charismatics. Now, I often put notes on the back of the bulletin. Happy has one. But there's some persons that I want us to focus on and even take with you. Because I may say some things today that are startling, unusual, don't sound all that familiar. And I want you to be able to revisit these verses because they get to the core of what who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit is doing. And we want to take that seriously in our lives. Why? Because there is no life in Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. Have we forgotten that? There is no life in Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. Let's look first at 1 Corinthians 12:3. I think Madison's going to call that up for us. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, we say Jesus is Lord. Now, anyone can say Jesus is Lord, right? With or without the Holy Spirit. But not as a confession of faith, not as a profession of something that we believe in. We believe Jesus is Lord. And when we say that, we're saying something. We're saying Caesar's not. When we say Jesus is Lord, we're saying Caesar is not. And we live in a world in which Caesar wants to rule us. And in our context, what we're saying as Christian people that Barack Obama is not in charge. If we were Russians, we would say Vladimir Putin is not in charge. If we were Cubans, we would say Fidel Castro is not in charge. Bolivians, Eva Morales. Rwandans, Paul Kagame. Caesar's not in charge of our lives. Jesus is. And we can't make that kind of profession without the power of the Holy Spirit being at work in us. Why? Because it's a costly profession. It easily puts us at odds with our countrymen, even members of our own family. We don't say it lightly. It comes to us with a cost. And it's the Holy Spirit that leads us there. We can't make that kind of profession of faith without Him being in our lives. Therefore, there is no life in Christ without the Holy Spirit. We are charismatics. You are charismatics. What do we mean by that? It means that we're people who believe in the Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We believe in grace, a gift that comes to us in the Holy Spirit itself and the Holy Spirit that gifts us for ministry and the life of the church. We are charismatics. On the back of our bulletin, it's been there for some time. We, with John Stott, say this: without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship would be, inconceivable, even impossible. There can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the Spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, no Christ-likeness of character apart from His fruit, and no effective witness without His power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. And what's true of the church would be true of Christians. Us individually, without the Holy Spirit, we are not alive. We can't make that profession of faith. There is no life. So whatever we've been missing about the Holy Spirit or whatever we're fleeing from in terms of the Holy Spirit has to be a part of who we are and what we're doing. We're charismatic people. We believe. It's the Holy Spirit that grants us the power and leads us to the truth that Jesus is Lord. So the Holy Spirit is a part of what we're doing. The Holy Spirit means to animate our lives. We look at a second verse, Ephesians 5:18, where Paul specifically talking about the work of the Holy Spirit says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You might think that odd. Well, he's talking to Christians. Aren't they already filled with the Holy Spirit? Haven't they been professing faith? Well, it's true. But he uses a verb form that's interesting. It's the continuous present. Always be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is, we have to be filled again and again, or we lose the Holy Spirit. As one famous evangelist said, why? Because we leak. We leak. Sometimes we go through pain that is so great in our lives that we are numb to the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We're not aware that he's there. And it does require our participation, our cooperation, doesn't it? We heard in Romans 8 that it's his Spirit testifying with our spirit. And so if we don't perceive what the Holy Spirit is doing, we won't allow him to achieve his work in us. And that can only be done as if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're like a basketball that's been sitting in the garage far too long. And the air leaks out. And it doesn't bounce very high. But if we were to fill this ball with the right amount of air and bounce it, it would go higher. If we put more air in it, it would go even higher as it bounces off the ground. We are meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit in that way. Such that our lives are animated. Such that our lives are full. And without it, he can't achieve the work that he wants to achieve. So the Holy Spirit must be a part of what we're doing. We can't say Jesus is Lord without him. And we have to be filled with that Holy Spirit again and again throughout our lives. And it's important to remember that because we do leak. And we have to invite him in to our lives again and again. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Animate me with life. Achieve the work that you want to achieve in me. And what is that work? Well, there are lots of things that the Holy Spirit does. But chief among them are not the things that are fantastic and spectacular and phenomenal. They are the things that are ordinary and day in and day out. And that is transforming us into the likeness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we hear there that the Holy Spirit is transforming our lives, and he is making us with ever-increasing glory into the likeness of Jesus. So we're becoming more like Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that's achieving that work. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That is the ultimate goal of Christianity. If we ever get confused about that, what is the Lord trying to do in us? He's trying to restore that image in which we were created. He's trying to recreate that which was lost, the likeness of Jesus. When we rebel, when we run, when we flee, we're no longer like Jesus. And he's trying to draw us back into that place where he can restore us and help us become that person. I've been asked many times in ministry, why is there not more fruit in my life, John? Why am I not more like Jesus today than I was yesterday? And sometimes it's because we don't perceive what it is that the Holy Spirit's trying to do. Transform us into the likeness. Sometimes we even accept that it's one step forward, two steps back. But it doesn't have to be that way. It can even be linear. Sure, there are going to be seasons in which we aren't growing. But he says with ever-increasing glory, ultimately, we are going to reach the destination. Is it going to be this side of the grave? No. We won't be perfected, but we will be led to become more like Christ. That is the goal. That is the heart's desire. And if he's going to make us like Christ, what are we going to be like? We're going to be a people who pour ourselves out for the welfare of others. Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. Who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. What is Paul telling us about Jesus in that regard? He's telling us that he didn't hold on to the things that he could have held on to. He deserved the best seats at the banquet tables, but he gave them up. Those things were not something to be grasped. He didn't spend his life trying to earn a reputation or accrue lots of benefits to himself. He instead did this. He emptied himself. The word is kenosis, and he did it for the welfare of other people, that we might be reconciled to God. He said, I'm going to go out there and live my life in such a way, walking away from all the things that I could have or should have in order to make the lives of other people better, to present them with the gospel, to be the gospel myself. That is, Jesus is saying that I'm going to die on behalf of you in your place for the sins that you've committed, that you might be restored to the Father and have this new and abundant life and be filled with the Holy Spirit and know what it means to be forgiven of your sins. If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to be missionaries, people who go out into the world. This is a place where the Christians gather to be fed, but it's out in the world in which we're meant to minister. Jesus said, go and make disciples. We're meant to go and to communicate life where there isn't any life. Possibilities where there aren't any in a world that's seriously and hopelessly broken. That's what the Holy Spirit led Jesus to do, and that's what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. So we can't be Christians, we can't say Jesus is Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit. So much so that we have to ask the Holy Spirit to be present in our lives and to fill us over and over again, because we can't become the people we're meant to be without His presence. And what is He going to do? He's going to make us more like Jesus. And if He's going to make us like Jesus, He's going to make us missionaries. And it's terribly important for us to be missionaries. You know, we have said often in this church that I say God is good, and you say?
God is good all the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Amen. Well, here's another one. A call and response, if you will. Nothing but fire kindles fire. Nothing but fire
kindles fire.
Do we get that? How do we start a fire? With fire, right? We light a match and something begins to burn. A famous preacher once said that nothing but fire kindles fire. And we want to remember that about ourselves. And we are meant to be the missionaries. We are meant to be the people out in the world pouring ourselves out for the welfare of others. And we're not doing such a great job here in the U.S. And one has to ask, is it because we've lost the power of the Holy Spirit to animate our witness? You know, the church is on fire in many parts of the world. There are more Anglicans worshiping in Rwanda today than there are Anglicans in the U.S. Itty-bitty country, 9 million people. There are more Anglicans worshiping there than there are in the U.S. today. The church is on fire in South America and Africa and Southeast Asia. Why? Because their lives are animated by the power of the Holy Spirit. But what about us in the West? What about those of us in the North? In the Church of England this week, there were less Christians in church than there were Muslims in mosques. And England and Canterbury are the hosts of a worldwide communion that says we have 77 million members. And yet there are more Muslims in mosques on a weekly basis in England than there are Christians in churches. And the situation here in the United States is not that much better. We can easily be deceived by that in the South. We think that the church is growing. It's interesting that Gallup has reported that 40% of the country is worshiping on a regular basis. That statistic has been constant for decades. Ironically, even in the face of denominations reporting that they're losing members and losing attendance all the time. And there's now more substantive and significant data that says truly the percentage is probably more like 17% of Americans worship on a regular basis. The church has been shrinking. Sure, we see the advent of churches that are large and drawing huge crowds, thousands of people upon the weekend, But they're not drawing new people into faith through an effective witness. They're drawing other people out of the life of the church. And even those churches like Willow Creek admit that that's what's happened in the first edit, in the first run, if you will. Back when they first started, they reached unchurched and unbelieving people. And they came to faith to the glory of God through their ministry. But ever since, they've been drawing people out of other churches. And that's how they've grown. And so we're just moving people around. Of course, some would say we're just rearranging chairs on the deck of the Titanic. But it doesn't have to be that way. The church can grow with an effective witness, but it can't have an effective witness unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes our witness effective. And we've lost that far too often because we didn't know about it, the church didn't teach about it, or we've seen excesses, so we've fled from it. But at a very basic level, all of us are charismatics. We can't say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. He can't achieve in us what He wants to achieve unless we're filled and filled continually with His presence. And if we are filled, He's going to achieve His way in us and we're going to be more like Christ. And if we're more like Christ, we're going to be more missionary-like, pouring our lives out there for the welfare of other people. That's how the kingdom grows. So where are we in all of that? Where is the Holy Spirit at work in our lives? Is He animating our profession of faith? Are we saying Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not by the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we being filled? Are we inviting Him to transform our lives and say, God, make me more like Jesus? Let it be linear. Don't let it be one step forward and two steps back, but make me more like Christ today than I was yesterday. And are we doing it to become the missionaries that He's created us to be? The very voice of God with an effective witness, speaking life among the dead, possibilities where there aren't any, all to His glory. If we're not, why not? We must ask the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. Animate these dry bones with Your breath. Renew our lives. Fill us to the brim. Achieve in us and what You want to achieve. Make us missionaries willing to let go of all the things that we desire in order to pour ourselves out for the welfare of Your people. Give us hearts for them, Lord God. All by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.